Racing HQ at 14 after 9. The final Group 1 of the Thoroughbred season comes up on Saturday at the Gold Coast. The Group 1 Sky Racing Tats Tiara. Let's get that final field on air for you. Nathan Burke joins us from Racing Queensland. Morning, Nathan.
Yeah, g'day, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. I think with the final field, or with the final Group 1 for the fillies and mares, there hasn't been too many dropping out.
No, Andrew. Look, Playtime's the only one that was inside the field that hasn't accepted this morning. We've got 20 in total, mate, with four emergencies.
Well, give us the four emergencies, because I think that might be crucial.
Yes, no doubt. Look, first emergency will be Talishan. Second emergency will be Najum. Third will be Jazz Song, and Vergara is the fourth emergency, Andrew.
Okay, so Najum at the moment, second emergency. And we should emphasise, Nathan, that this field is put together by prize money?
Yeah, correct, Andrew. Look, the last 10 dolls, since I've been here anyway, and, you know, the last 20 years, all the weight for age races, on aggregate prize money, and Najum being lightly raced and on the way up, obviously, just hasn't amassed as much prize money as a few above her, unfortunately, Andrew.
Okay, can you run us through the final field of 16 and repeat those emergencies?
Yeah, no drama. So we've got Shrikandi, the Stradbroke winner, Hazard, Diadem from New Zealand, Catkins, Real Surreal, Peggy Jean, Avoid Lightning, Solicit, Thump, Estonian Princess, Politeness, Lumosity, Bound for Earth, Rose of Choice, Perron, and Dublin Lass. They make up the 16. And the four emergencies are Talishan, Najum, Jazz Song, and Vergara, Andrew.
Gee, the quality is there, isn't it?
Well, it's a fantastic race, and, you know, I think that's another point why Najum is where she's in the ballot. It's unfortunate. And it's just a great race, Andrew. It always is. I think it rated the number one mare's race last year. So this shows you what a cracking race it is and where it's placed in the carnival late season.
Sure. For sure. They're all there. And you mentioned Shrikandi at the top being the Stradbroke winner. The final Group 1 of the season, 16 plus 4, and Najum sits second emergency for Gabe Waterhouse and Tommy Berry. Thanks a lot, Nathan.
No worries, Andrew.
We'll get the barrier draw on air for you before now, between now and 10 o'clock for you. We can tell you that Gerald Ryan told me Solicit, Estonian Princess both had their final gallops this morning at Rose Hill. Estonian Princess's gallop was a bit more stronger than Solicit, who's been ticking over. Everything's gone to plan. It's going to be one hell of a race with this barrier draw. Pretty crucial now. See, and so too the weather. Steve Andrews, track manager, is joining us. Steve, good morning to you at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Steve, you've had consistent rain and more expected later today.
Yeah, the forecast isn't looking good for today, but after that it looks pretty promising. It's supposed to be fine. So the Weather Bureau is saying between 6 to 20 mil over the next 12 hours. With a possible storm at the end of that. So hopefully when the storm comes through, it'll clear things up.
6 to 20 mil. What would you be rating it now?
Mate, we're in the heavy range. I put it out as a heavy 8. We haven't had any rain here probably for the last 2 hours. Just a little bit of drizzle early morning. We finished up with 12 mil overnight, and we've had just over 60 mil for the last week.
Okay, so it's been pretty significant. In the summary, mate, you don't want 20 mil. You'd rather 5 today, wouldn't you?
Mate, 0 would be perfect, but unfortunately we're in the lap of the gods.
Yeah, for sure. The bright prospect is that Thursday and Friday are going to be fine, is that right?
Yeah, that's what the Bureau's saying, and it's going to be fairly warm too. They're saying 22 to 23 degrees, so if we can get some good fine weather and maybe a bit of a westerly blowing, it's going to help us, and we probably might get back to a soft track.
Yeah, okay, well, let's cross the fingers. Heavy 8 at this stage, but it really comes down to what happens today. Steve, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning and get an update for our listeners and participants that have all got the runners there.
Okay, Andrew.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Andrews there from the Gold Coast, the track manager. Heavy 8 at this stage with the prospect of 6 to 20 mil falling today. 18 after 9.
This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Well, let's go and preview day two of Ascot now here on Racing HQ. David Hayes is joining us, the trainer of Criterion, running tonight at 20 past one our time in the Prince of Wales. David, I know you've been to Ascot for day one. How have you enjoyed it?
Well, I had a wonderful day. We had the pleasure to meet the Queen, and it really was a great day's racing. It was the third effort.
How did that come about, Dave? Was it pre-arranged, or did it just happen meeting the Queen?
It was pre-arranged, but it was an absolute pleasure. What a wonderful woman, and I was taken back how knowledgeable she is about racing.
Well, we know that she owns a great deal, but she seems to get right into it too.
Yes, no, it's like John Warren introduced us, and they're real pure racing people.
You'll have to get one. Did you put it? Hopefully, you chatted to her about maybe training one of hers in Australia.
No. Well, I've been lucky enough to inherit a horse called Bold Sniper, and he'll be trained in the spring. So that's why I met her.
Right, yeah. Bold Sniper came under, and I think Gay trained, but coming to you. So, it's a day that you'll never ever forget, Dave.
No, it was wonderful. Prue and my son Ben met her, and it was a terrific day and great day's racing.
Well, let's hope it's even better tomorrow. I guess with Criterion running in the Prince of Wales, the only concern watching the races on the TV, Dave, was the weather and the state of the track. I know they're watering it, I think, your time tonight. It got pretty firm by the looks of it anyway.
There's no doubt it's a firm track. Like, Criterion does handle firm ground. Like, he almost won a George Ryder in record time. But, look, if there was some moisture in the track, it would be better for him.
Yep, understand. How do you... I mean, we went to cross the fingers with Charmel Wind and wasn't quite up to it. I guess we just... You never know until these horses race, I guess, Dave.
Look, you don't know. I'm a huge Able Friend fan. And then I watched Charmel Wind struggle. And it does deepen your confidence a bit, how tough it is here. I do think our horse is in terrific form and a good, genuine 2,000-metre horse. So I'm pretty confident he'll run close.
The other thing, Dave, is that he's going to be sitting somewhere up on the pace. He puts himself there, doesn't he?
Look, he does. But I'm going to tell Chad not to be in a rush, get a little bit of cover and produce him late.
Yep, okay. But outwards to you, the horse is giving you the nice signs that he's... And the other thing, Dave, that with this horse, he's been there longer than, say, Charmel Wind or Able Friend. You went straight from Hong Kong back in April.
Yeah, look, he's been there for 6 weeks and he's acting like a local as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happy with him going in the race.
Dave, thanks for staying up. I know you're still out and about there after being at the races. I think it'll be hard to get the head on the pillow if you've met the Queen on day one. We wish you the best on day two.
Thanks, Andrew.
David Hayes joining us there with his expectations. Now, I just want to clarify with the watering of Ascot. The original report was that they were looking at it and likely to do it. The latest report we've had is that they're not going to be watering Ascot as we speak after day one, and they feel that they've still got plenty of juice in the track. That's some concern to a few horses going forward. We'll wait and see how it gets played tonight with Criterion. That race is at 20 past one. Now, for those that didn't stay up or get up through the night to get some of the Royal Ascot action, Solo won the Queen Anne, the star for the head stable. Able Friend finished sixth. It got beaten seven lengths, never got into the race at all. John Moore has texted me in the last couple of hours that he's pulled up okay. No visible soundness issues. A long season may have just simply caught up with the horse. So that's the story with Able Friend not getting into that race at all. We'll get to Mark Hunter, by the way, in just a moment, but running through the information here for Royal Ascot, the King's Stand Stakes was, of course, where Charmel Wind... Now, it missed it probably... Gee, it didn't miss it much, but it missed it. And then Ryan Moore told us that it slipped shortly after the start. It never got into the race at all. It finished 13th. Now, the story in the last few hours is changing a little bit. Robert Smurden has told me via text that... the situation is that the horse could stay up there and race again for another trainer, or she could be served by See the Stars while she is in the UK. And if she fell in foal, well, she'd come back home. If she didn't, then she could come back to Australia and be served by a sire in our breeding season coming up. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens with that horse in Charmel Wind. A decision is pending with what they do there, whether they race her on, have one more run in the UK summer with another trainer, or whether they retire her. Gold Dream won the King's Stand, beating Medician Man, who was ridden by Joe Moreira, trained by Jeremy Gask, and Jeremy, of course, the former South Australian trainer. The other couple of features, Glen Eagles won the St. James Palace for Aidan O'Brien, and the last three races were won by Ryan Moore, the Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup winning jockey. He won the last three races on Ascot Day 1. So that brings you up to date with the action. Disappointing with Charmel Wind. We'll wait and see in the next 24 hours on what the future is there. 47,250 people were there for Day 1, a slight increase on last year. And let's hope Criterion can run a bit better tonight. The race at 20 minutes past 1. Our time. Well, let's talk racing now with Mark Hunter. Mark, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew.
We got heavy nines everywhere, mate, so we're running on a pretty genuine heavy track at Ballarat in the winter.
Yeah, and I'd suggest you pack your coat too, Hoss, if you're heading up to Ballarat. I wouldn't think it'd be a T-shirt day up there.
No, it wouldn't be. All right, mate, let's have a look at... Have you found a couple of good things or not?
I reckon I've found a good thing for us. Well, we'll go the first one, race one, number three, Belezron, who's a model of consistency. It's ideally suited 1,000 metres. It handles the wet. It does have to carry the 58.5 kilos here, but the way this race should be run, I've got Sunday Escape leading. I think Belezron can sit right on its back and just has to run it down. They've met. There's not much between them. There is a weight pull to Sunday Escape, but I just think the way Belezron's going, Trumby can get it into the clear and mow them down the last 150.
Righto. So for Moody and Nolan, race one, number three.
And the best of the day for me, you can bet each way here, race six, number seven, To Be Honest, who's had the two runs back from a spell. They've been terrific. It had not much luck at Caulfield, was strong to the line. It jumped quickly in distance to Moonee Valley against a good field, males and females. It got into the wrong spot. It came out wide. It actually came from behind yesterday's songs, went around it and finished in front of it. So the form's good. Mm. It drops the 52.5 here for Patrick Maloney. I like the fact it's back to 1,400 metres on soft ground. It's drawn wide. I'm not worried about that. You'd think the inside would be off by now. Just has to balance up, join in the right time, and a fantastic each-way bet, race six, number seven.
Righto. So the two there, Ballarat, race one, number three, and the best each-way for sure, race six, number seven. Let's look at the quaddie being a Wednesday. How does race five look?
Look, this quaddie could pay a fortune today. Race five, I'll go 3, 2, 5, and 4. Now, they're pretty much the obvious. Number three, Blendwell, is the one to beat. It handles the wet. The queries here, it's got to run the 1,600 metres, which is no certainty, and it's got to carry the 58. But I've got it on top of number two, Mayan Prophecy, who will go forward. If it doesn't lead, it'll be right there. Again, got to carry the 59. Number five, Miss Del Toro. Ordinary last time, but gets back onto softer ground, will improve. And four, Rainbow Bridge, pardon me, who's got some good wet form, came from last to beat a similar field, but has to carry the 58 here. It's a race nothing would shock. I'll go 3, 2, 5, and 4.
Righto. Race 6, you've gone each way, the 7.
Yeah, confident here, 7. The danger's number 11, It's My Call, who had a few stables. This horse came from New Zealand to Kieran Maher. It's gone up the bush. Now it's come back having its first run for Darren Weir. It's flying at the moment. It's got good wet form, and it's down on the minimum for Dwayne Dunn. Third pick, number 1, Distant Dreams, another Darren Weir runner who basically just got beaten into submission by Zakayla there at Mornington. It's had time between runs. It's back to 1,400 metres. A quieter ride can improve. And fourth pick, number 3, Digger Pony, who is a terrific wet track mare. She's had a few false starts with here, getting to the races with late scratchings. She's got 58.5. She'd want to be hard and fit to win a race like this. 7, 11, 1 and 3.
Race 7, this is a 2,200 metre race on a heavy 9.
Yeah, it's a toughie. I'll go for some value here. I'll go 15, 8, 10 and 13. Number 15, Dynamic Balance, who two starts ago in a similar race was terrific. I'd ignore that last run. It's got 51 kilos on heavy ground. It's big double-figure odds to beat number 8, the Nonanator, who, look, I got this theory that it's a city class stayer. It hasn't lived up to that yet, but it will one day. It's got a good chance. Number 10, Delaney Wave. Archie Alexander's got this horse flying. It used to handle the wet when Mark Cavanagh had it. It gets in with 55 after the claim. And 13, Wolfpack, who just got completely out of its ground last start. It's down there on 53 kilos after the claim and will be running on. Some big odds there, 15, 8, 10 and 13.
All right, let's hope we're alive coming into this over the 1,200.
Yeah, this is another impossible race. I'll go 8, 15, 10 and 1. Number 8, King's Command. Only won a maiden last start, but it was on soft ground. They ran 6 lengths faster than the 0 to 64. I thought the win was good. To beat number 15, Nimini Pimini. Just might be drawing the right spot. It's getting better with each run for Russell Cameron. Just the end of the 1,200 metres is your query with this horse. Number 10, Yoshi Asahi. It had absolutely no luck at Bendigo. It was in that 0 to 64 that ran slower than King's Command. It's got a chance. And one Benchy Pegasus. Back to its right grade, back to 1,200 metres on soft ground. 8, 15, 10 and 1.
Couple of wide legs, the last couple there, races 7 and 8. The best, race 1, number 3, and certainly each way, race 6, number 1. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Andrew.
Mark Hunter looking at Ballarat in Victoria. Just a couple of quick words with Josh Rutter from the Melbourne Racing Club. He's been around the Sydney tracks over the last couple of mornings, spent some time at Warwick Farm promoting their spring races and the Blue Diamond. Morning to you, Josh.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the listeners. Yeah, the weather might not say so, but with the depths of winter, but the spring's looming large. We've got some key dates for owners and trainers to be aware of.
So, first of all, the Blue Diamond. What's the dates there that our participants need to be aware of?
So, the first Tuesday in July, July 7, same day as the Golden Slipper. Nominations close, so entries can be taken before that. $330 entry. As you would have seen last year, prior to Dubai, had to pay that late entry because it wasn't originally nommed to $55,000. So, $330 early also gets you into the Blue Sapphire at the three-year-old race the following year. Very similar system to the Slipper and Golden Rose.
All right, so July 7 for both the Slipper and the Diamond, a crucial day. Now, from a spring point of view, what's happening there for Caulfield?
So the first Tuesday in August, we have all the entries for our Cup, our Guineas races, etc. Key to remember, the 1,000 Guineas and Caulfield Guineas first entry gets you into the Caulfield Classic. And we've got a couple of little prize money changes. The Herbert Power has been doubled, 200,000 to 400,000. Obviously, the last lead up to the Caulfield Cup on Guineas Day. The Scalacci is gone from 200,000 to 400,000 and has gone from 1,000 metres up to 1,100 run on Guineas Day, whereas the Caulfield Sprint the following week, 7 days later, has got 1,100 back to 1,000. So just trying to strengthen that weight for age program into the Manicato and Mooney Valley. So Scalacci and Herbert Power, nice prize money injection that trainers and owners should be aware of. And with our Caulfield Classic, last year was worth $750. This year goes to $500,000, but there's $500,000 worth of bonuses to any horses that are able to win any of the lead-ups like the Golden Rose, Flight, Spring Champion, and either Guineas race at Caulfield. So there's some things to be aware of at Caulfield. Really looking forward to our carnival. Obviously, last year was fantastic with the international flavour. And I actually spent a couple of weeks in Japan recently. And Japan, again, have got the Caulfield Cup on the radar. So really looking forward to it.
No, fantastic news. Details, further details can be found on the Melbourne Racing Club website as well. Safe travels up to Brisbane. Thanks for your time, Josh.
Thanks, Andrew. Good punting to all the listeners.
Josh Rodder there from the Melbourne Racing Club.